بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still studying chapter Al-Fajr, the dawn. And Ayah 15, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا كَلَّا. Two verses. Allah says, as for man, when his Lord tries him by giving him honor and gifts, then he says, my Lord has honored me. But when he tries him by straining his means of life, he says, my Lord has humiliated me. Nay. What does this mean? Allah Azza wa Jal gives the dunya to whom he loves and to whom he does not love. But he gives iman only to those whom he loves. Let's look around us. You go to Muslim countries, you would find this country struck by war, civil war, and this other country struck by famine and drought. You find Muslim countries led by tyrants and corrupt officials. However, they are Muslim countries in the sense that the population, they're Muslims, they're believers, they believe in the Qur'an, they abide by the Sunnah. So these are trials from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is trying them. And if you go to disbelieving countries, to Europe, to the West, to the East, you would find that they have rain, greenery, rivers, wealth, beauty, power. You think that they've got it made, but they are disbelievers. Eventually they will go to hell because they refuse to believe. And hell is what awaits them, but it is also what they're living at the moment. If you look at the top 13 countries in the world in terms of suicide rate, you'll find that Sweden, Norway, France, Germany, South Korea, and a lot of the countries that people look up to be leading industrial countries with everything they want or desire. They have it, yet they commit suicide. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal did not give them iman. So Allah is telling us that we have two situations. When someone Allah favors and gives wealth and health, he would say, Allah Azza wa Jal has honored me. On the other hand, when someone Allah deprives him from such health and wealth and worldly matters, he says, Allah has humiliated me. Nay. Nope. This is not the case. Allah may give the disbelievers in this life while withholding from the believers. And whatever Allah gives the disbelievers, the health, the wealth, the good things that they enjoy, this is in exchange for the good things they do in this life. A disbeliever can feed a poor person. Allah rewards this by giving this disbeliever a comfortable life. He gives him a good salary. He gives him health and good children, so that on the day of judgment when he comes, he has no good deeds. He's been paid in full in this life. Unlike the believer, whatever good he does, he may get some of it in this life, but it is all stored for him in the hereafter. Allah says, nay, this is not what you think. Allah gives iman, gives Islam, gives the comfort and the content of the heart only to the believers. And if he withholds some of his favors and blessing, this is not because he's humiliating his servant, but this is for his own good. The Prophet says in the authentic hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah protects his servant, as you protect your sick and patients, you prevent them from food and water, and that is for their own protection. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal protects the believer from this dunya, from this world, by doing this. Because we've seen so many people, when Allah Azza wa Jal grants them wealth, grants them money, and opens the dunya for them, they lose their faith. They lose their belief and commitment to Islam. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, to his companions, "By Allah, I do not fear poverty. I do not fear poverty for you." Meaning that if you become poor, my nation, my ummah, I don't fear that. What I fear most is that Allah would open the world for you. And that would be similar to the nations before you. And I'm afraid that you will compete in it, like the nations before you competed in it. And I'm afraid that it will destroy you like it had destroyed the nations before you. So poverty is not the end of the day. The poorer you are, the closer to Allah, most likely. Most likely, not always. Because you will have less to occupy your mind and to consume your time. And that is why you would be praying and fasting and devoting your life to Allah Azza wa Jal, while that wealthy person would not succeed in doing half of what you're doing. He has a lot on his plate that he may not be able to handle. So it is not what you say. It's not humiliation from Allah to you. It's a test. Allah tries you. And we find that among the 10 heavenly bound companions of the Prophet ﷺ, may Allah be pleased with them, we find 6 or 7 of them were multi-millionaires. But you cannot tell. They were at the front of every army that fought for the cause of Allah. And they used to pray night prayer. And they used to fast voluntary fastings. So, as they say, they were monks at night time and they were knights at daytime. They were brave warriors. Yet the dunya was not in their hearts, it was in their hands. Meaning that they spent without any remorse. They give in the cause of Allah. They have no problem with that. If it were in their heart, it would have taken a piece of it every time they had spent. So Allah says, "Nay, kalla, balla tukrimun al-yateem." But you treat not the orphans with kindness and generosity. So even if Allah Azza wa Jal gives you money, even if Allah Azza wa Jal gives you wealth, you do not treat the orphans with kindness and with generosity. And orphans have a great position in Islam. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "He who supports and sponsors an orphan, him and I are like this on the Day of Judgment." See how far? They're so close to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If you sponsor an orphan and bring him to live with you in your home. And the Prophet told one of his companions, may Allah be pleased with him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Do you like, would you wish that Allah would soften your heart and help you attain what you wish for?" The companion said, "Yes, O Prophet of Allah." The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Wipe over the hair of an orphan." And who is an orphan? An orphan is a child that did not reach the age of puberty, whose father had died. So if the mother died, we would not call him an orphan, because the mother does not support and sponsor him. But if the father dies, then he's an orphan, providing he doesn't reach the age of puberty. If he reaches the age of puberty, he's not an orphan anymore. So Allah Azza wa Jal is encouraging us to support and to sponsor orphans. However, it is worth noting that it is not permissible in Islam to adopt. And we will elaborate a little bit, inshaAllah, more on adoption after the break, so stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. What is the ruling on adoption in Islam? Adoption, in the sense that people know, is prohibited. Meaning that if you take a child into a custody and you give him or her your name as if it's your own legitimate child, this is totally prohibited in Islam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, call them after their parents, which means that you cannot change a person's name to another's name. Like in so many countries, when a woman marries, she changes her last name to her husband's name. And this is unacceptable in Islam. A woman has her own identity. Why should she change her name into her husband's? No, she's called as she was always called, after her father, the daughter of her father, and from that family or this tribe. She could not take her husband's name and add it to hers. Likewise, you cannot adopt a child and say that he's your son or your daughter. This was permitted in the beginning of Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ was given a slave by the name of Zayd ibn Haritha. May Allah be pleased with him. And this slave was given to Khadija, his wife, originally, by Hakim ibn Hizam, her nephew. And she gave that slave to the Prophet ﷺ, who happened to love this man or this young boy to the extent that he adopted him, and he was known in all of Mecca as Zayd ibn Muhammad, until Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the ayat, the verses in Surah Al-Ahzab, where we were instructed to call them after their parents, after their family. So in Islam, you are rewarded if you take care of an orphan, but you cannot adopt that orphan in this sense. Yes, you can take him in, you can raise him in your house, you can feed him, you can pay for his education, but he has to know that he is not your son, either biological or adopted, and he has to keep his name as well. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal is encouraging us to be kind to orphans, and he's telling us that you treat not the orphans with kindness and generosity. And this is to the disbelievers, because the Muslims do that. وَلَا تَحَاضُّونَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. And encourage not one another on the feeding of the poor. And this also is apparent. How many around us are starving, and some to death? Look at the refugee camps. Look at the countries struck by famine. And what is our contribution to them? Nothing. We throw a great portion of the food in our homes and kitchens because of the date of expiry. And these people look for anything to eat so that they can live on it. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا. And you devour inheritance all with greed. And this is visible in Arabia. And not all of the Arabs, but in some tribes, they would probably find no reason to prevent themselves from taking what's not theirs unlawfully. So if the father dies, we should divide the inheritance to the males and the females, the boys and the girls. In some cases, the eldest would deprive the girls from taking their inheritance. And they say, no, this is our father's money. You are married. And if we give you your share of the inheritance, it would go to the man, and he is from a different tribe or from a different family. So Allah Azza wa Jal is condemning this. And he says that you devour inheritance all with greed. So whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has given, it's called inheritance. So even your provision, even the food you find, even whatever you get, all of this Allah has given it to you, and this is the inheritance you receive. And specifically, when someone dies and you inherit that as well. And Allah says, وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. And you love wealth with much love. And this is human nature. No one would say, Jazakallah khair, thank you, I don't need this money. No one. Rarely you will find someone who would say this. Usually, if you say to someone, I'd like to give you this much, he will be grateful. And if you give him a choice, would you like me to give you a million or 5 millions? He would say, 5 millions would do. So, no matter how much you have, people love wealth, love money. And that is why there was a verse, Ibn Adam, the son of Adam, if he had a valley of gold, he would acquire a second to it. A valley of gold? How much was that? And if he had 2 valleys of gold, he would acquire a third. And nothing fills the stomach of the son of Adam, the mouth of son of Adam, the eyes of son of Adam, except dust. That is when he dies, this is where his quest ends. And this is noticeable. People love wealth, and you love wealth with much love. And from these beautiful ayahs, we can learn that Allah Azza wa Jalla is encouraging us to feed the poor and to support the orphans and to give those their dues and their share in the inheritance, and not to measure things by wealth and power, because this can be a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, كَلَّا إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكًّا دَكًّا. Nay, when the earth is ground to powder, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. And your Lord comes with the angels in rows. وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَى. And hell will be brought near that day. On that day will man remember. How will that remembrance avail him? So Allah now Azza wa Jal is telling us about the Day of Judgment. When the ground, when the earth would be pounded, the mountains would be flattened, and the earth would be made to spread in front of us. And Allah Azza wa Jal would come on that day with the angels in rows, coming subhanahu wa ta'ala to judge the people and to weigh their deeds. And hellfire would be brought nearer and closer. And the hadith, the Prophet told us that the hell would have 70,000 leashes, with each leash 70,000 angels dragging it. So huge, so big. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that on that day, man will remember, but how will that remembrance avail him? He will remember what he had forgotten. On that day, each and every single thing that you had made or had said will be displayed in front of you, and you will remember. If you remember in this life, it will avail you, because you will do something about it. On the Day of Judgment, your remembrance would not help you. On the contrary, it would increase in your torment. And he would regret. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. He will say, alas, would that I had sent forth for my life. I wish, I hope I had done something for this eternal life. And this is the real life, not the life we live in, which is temporary and for a number of years. I wish I did not mock the righteous. I wish I did not belie the Quran. I wish I did not reject the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. However, فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يُعَذِّبُ عَذَابَهُ أَحَدٌ وَلَا يُوثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدٌ. So on that day, none will punish as Allah would punish and none would bind as Allah Azza wa Jal would bind. No one is close to Allah's punishment or to His angels binding and tying them up for torment and for the torture that awaits them. And then Allah Azza wa Jal talks about the believers. And He says, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ Oh, you the one in complete rest and satisfaction. Allah is addressing the soul of the believer. The soul that has the tranquility in it. The soul that was content with Allah's trials and calamities in this life. When the angels take it, it is addressed by, Oh, you the one in complete rest and satisfaction. Come back to your Lord. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah. Come back to your Lord, well-pleased and well-pleasing unto Him. So you're satisfied and you're satisfying Allah the Almighty. And this is when the soul comes out in a very nice and soft manner. Allah Azza wa Jal says to it, Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah fadukhuli fi ibadi. Enter you among my honored slaves, wadukhuli jannati, and enter my paradise. And this is a great glad tiding to the believers who tolerated, who were patient, who were compliant with Allah's religion, that they will be addressed with this beautiful call for them to enter paradise. With this, we come to the conclusion of this program. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.